Good evening. This is Russ Werner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. We are going to start off tonight with some March Madness, first from the Men's NCAA Tournament East Region with the University of Arizona. Love carries Arizona past Oregon. Caleb Love scored 20 of his 29 points in the second half and made several vital plays down the stretch to help 4th-seeded Arizona put away 5th-seeded Oregon 87-83 in the second round of the NCAA tournament on Sunday night in Seattle. Love shot 6-for-7 with 4 3-pointers in the second half and scored 10 straight Arizona points in crunch time to ensure the Wildcats at 24-12 would beat their former Pac-12 rivals. They will face number 1 Duke in the East Region semifinals on Thursday. Toby Awaka collected 12 points and 14 rebounds for Arizona, which reached the Sweet 16 for the third time in 4 years under coach Tommy Lloyd. KJ Lewis, Anthony DeLorso, and Jaden Bradley all finished with 12 points as well. Jackson Shellstead led Oregon, who was 25-10, with 25 points. TJ Bamba had 17, and Nate Biddle paired 16 points with 11 boards. The Ducks squandered a 19-4 head start, fell behind before halftime, and could not land the final blow after making it a one-possession game again. Love stormed in for a dunk with 2:37 left for a 7-point lead, and he added a tray to make it 80-73, but the Ducks weren't done. Arizona attempted and fumbled an alley-oop dunk, and Oregon quickly took it the other way for a 3-pointer by Keyshawn Bartholomew. Arizona big man Henry Vassar missed 2 free throws, and Biddle cut the deficit to 2 on a hook shot with 49 seconds left. The teams played free throw cat and mouse the rest of the way. Oregon twice got within 1 point, but Bradley, DeLorso, and Love went a combined 7-for-8 at the line in the final 21 seconds. After Arizona led 42-38 at intermission, Awaka made 2 buckets early in the second half, and Love and DeLorso combined on an 8-0 run to give Arizona a 54-43 cushion. Awaka scored one more time before picking up his 3rd foul and subbing out. Oregon took advantage and clawed back, drawing within 56-52 on Shellstead's 3rd 3-pointer with 14:18 left to play. Awaka got his 4th foul at the 8:40 mark and exited again, and Oregon twice pulled within 3 points before Shellstead made a long 2-pointer that cut it to 72-70. Love answered by drilling a tray on the next possession, starting his personal run. Now, other games in the East region. Number 1 seed Duke, 89. Number 9, Baylor, 66. Freshman sensation Cooper Flagg and Duke will be heading to the Sweet 16 after handling Baylor in the Raleigh, North Carolina. Tyrese Proctor poured in 25 points, and Flagg scored 18 as the hot-shooting Blue Devils recorded their 2nd tournament blowout in 3 days. "It's just our competitive edge and our willingness to play together," Flagg said. "Everybody has everybody's back." Con Neupel racked up 12 points as part of the Blue Devils' rousing performance in front of a large contingent of their fans just about a half-hour drive from the campus. The preparation for this game started with great respect for Baylor coach Scott Drew, said Duke coach John Shayer, whose team shot 64.4% from the field. "To win by this margin speaks to this group's killer instinct and connectivity, and the Sweet 16 sounds great to us." BJ Edgecombe posted 16 points. Norchard Omiar had 15 points and 9 rebounds. And Langston Love finished with 11 points for Baylor, who was 20-15, which shot just 36.8% from the field. The Bears won back-to-back games only once since January, and they couldn't produce another winning streak in the tournament. Now we have number 2, Alabama, 80, and number 7, St. Mary's, 66. 6 Alabama players scored in double figures, and the Crimson Tide held St. Mary's to 24 of 70 shooting from the floor in a win in Cleveland. Alabama, at 27-8, answered every one of the Gills' efforts at a rally in the second half, preserving the 13-point advantage the Crimson Tide built going into halftime. Alabama capitalized on the Gills' 0-for-9 start from three-point range, including 0-of-6 as part of a woeful 9-of-36 shooting performance through the first 20 minutes. St. Mary's, at 29-6, threatened multiple times in the second half behind Jordan Ross, Mitchell Saxon, and Augustus Marquilionis, each of whom scored 8 points in the latter 20 minutes. However, the Gales could get no closer than 7 points thanks to timely points from a variety of Alabama shooters. Aiden Holloway, Mark Sears, and Grant Nelson each scored 12 points. Nelson, who did not play until late in the game because of a knee injury during Alabama's first-round win over Robert Morris, was integral to the Tide, combating a St. Mary's team that was excellent on the boards all season. Nelson grabbed 8 rebounds to help give Alabama a 41-36 edge on the glass. Clifford Omaria, who provided a variety of key dunks in the second half to stem St. Mary's rallies, posted a double-double with 10 points and 11 rebounds. Then in the East region, Kentucky makes first Sweet 16 since 2019. Kobe Brea had 23 points, and Otega Owa added 15 to pace third-seeded Kentucky to an 84-75 victory over number 6 Illinois in the second round of the NCAA tournament Midwest region on Sunday. Kentucky, at 24-11, will face second-seeded Tennessee in the Sweet 16 on Friday in Indianapolis. Kentucky hit its first 5 shots of the second half for a 10-0 run. Amari Williams turned a steal into a breakaway jam to put the Wildcats up 47-32 to cap the run 3 minutes into the frame. Brea scored 10 consecutive points for Kentucky for a 70-54 lead with 9.5 minutes remaining. Keelan Boswell's jumper from the right wing pulled the Illini within 74-68, but Andrew Carr countered with a drive to make it 76-68 with 1:13 left. The Wildcats hit 8 free throws over the final 1:01 to preserve the victory and advance to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2019. And over in the West region, Maryland sinks Rams on a buzzer beater. Derek Queen drove for a short basket as time expired to give 4th-seeded Maryland a dramatic 72-71 victory over 12th-seeded Colorado State on Sunday in West Region second-round play at Seattle. Colorado State's Jalen Lake swished a 3-pointer with 6.1 seconds left to give the Rams a 1-point edge before Queen's drive put the Terrapins at 27-8 in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016. Queen had 17 points, and Rodney Rice added 16 for Maryland, which will play top-seeded Florida in San Francisco on Thursday. Julian Reese had 15 points and 11 rebounds. Jacoby Gillespie recorded 11 points, 7 assists, and 4 steals. And Shelton Miguel also scored 11 points as the Terrapins won for the 14th time in their past 17 games. Nikki Clifford registered 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Rams, who are 26-10, who had an 11-game winning streak halted. Lake scored 13 points, while Bowen Bourne and Kian Evans scored 10. And finally, in the South region of the men's NCAA tournament, Ole Miss topples Iowa State. Sean Padula had 20 points, and Jamin Brakefield added 19, as 6th-seeded Ole Miss dominated number 3-seed Iowa State 91-78 in the second round of the NCAA tournament South region on Sunday. Ole Miss, at 24-11, will face the winner of 2nd-seeded Michigan State and 10-seed New Mexico in the Sweet 16 on Friday in Atlanta. Ole Miss trailed 13-5 early, but answered with a 23-4 run. Matthew Morrell converted a three-point play to put the Rebels up 28-17 with 7:22 left in the first half. Ole Miss led 40-29 at the half and extended it to 54-37 on consecutive three-pointers by Padula and Brakefield. Jalen Murray hit a pair of free throws to put the Rebels up 61-40 with just under 13 minutes remaining. Malik Diaz's free throw put the Rebels in front 78-52 with 5:40 left. Curtis Jones's three-pointer brought the Cyclones within 85-75 with 1:20 left. Ole Miss shot 58.2%, including 79.9% beyond the arc, hitting 11 of 19 from deep. The Rebels hit 19 of 28 shots in the second half for 67.9%, including 6 of 8 three-pointers. The Rebels had a 20-7 edge in points off turnovers, forcing 15 Iowa State miscues. Dia added 18 points, Morrell 15, and Murray 11 for the Rebels, advancing to the Sweet 16 for their first time since 2001. And in that other game, Michigan State 71, New Mexico 63. Jaden Atkins scored a team-high 16 points, and Michigan State controlled the last 7 minutes to eliminate New Mexico in the second round of the South region in Cleveland. Trey Holloman came off the bench to add 14 points, and fellow reserve Frankie Fieltler chipped in 10 points for the Spartans at 29-6, who advanced to the regional semifinals in Atlanta to play number 6 Ole Miss on Friday. The Rebels were 91-78 winners over third-seeded Iowa State. Nelly Jr. Joseph scored 16 points for the Lobos, who were 27-8, but was limited to 29 minutes due to foul trouble before fouling out at the 2:12 mark. Mountain West Conference Player of the Year Donovan Dent added 14 points and 6 assists, while Mustafa Amzil also tallied 14 points. New Mexico canned 48.2% of his field goal attempts, including 15 of 28 in the second half. It outshot Michigan State, which made 44.4% from the field, but the Spartans won this one at the foul line. They converted 19 of 28 there, while the Lobos made just 5 of 10. Now here is the schedule for the Sweet 16 men's tournament. Starting with the South region, number 1 Auburn will play number 5 Michigan on Saturday. Number 6 Ole Miss will play Michigan State on Saturday. In the East region, number 1 seeded Duke will play number 4 seeded Arizona on Thursday. And number 6 seed BYU will face number 2 seed Alabama also on Thursday. And in the West, number 1 Florida will face number 4 Maryland on Thursday. And number 3 Texas Tech will face number 10 Arkansas on Thursday. Then in the Midwest on Friday, number 1 Houston will face number 4 Purdue, and number 3 Kentucky will face number 2 Tennessee. Now here is a side article on men's basketball. There's a report. Texas hires Xavier's Sean Miller. One era of Texas basketball came to an end on Sunday, and another appears ready to be started. And a few hours after the Longhorns fired Rodney Terry, Texas is moving forward hiring Xavier basketball coach Sean Miller, according to several reports. The news was first reported by Cedric Golden of the Austin American Statesman. Terry led the Longhorns to a 62-38 overall record and 3 NCAA appearances during his tenure, including an Elite Eight in 2023. Miller has some familiarity with the Longhorns program, having just coached against Texas in the first 4 of the tournament on Wednesday. Xavier won the game 86-80. He was also a rumored candidate for the Longhorns' vacant head coaching spot 2 years ago, before Texas ultimately decided to remove Terry's interim head coaching tags and make him the Longhorns' full-time coach after an Elite Eight run. The move to Texas marks a return to the Power 4 level for Miller, who spent 12 seasons at Arizona between his 2 stints at Xavier. In 3 seasons during his second run at Xavier, Miller led the Musketeers to a 65-40 overall record with two NCAA and one NIT appearances. Before returning to Xavier in 2022, Miller spent a year off from coaching after being fired by Arizona following the 2020-2021 season. During his time with the Wildcats, the school self-imposed a one-year NCAA tournament ban and were forced to forfeit all results for the 2016-17 and 2017-18 season as part of an NCAA probe that was triggered by FBI investigation into several prominent Division I schools. Miller was cleared of any wrongdoing by the NCAA in 2022. And now to the women's NCAA tournament, starting with Region 1 Spokane from Sunday. Number 1 seed UCLA, 84, over number 8 seed Richmond, 67. And number 5 seed Ole Miss, 69, over 4 seed Baylor, 63. And it was number 2 seed North Carolina State, 83, over number 7 seed Michigan State, 49. Then over in Region 2 Birmingham, number 1 seed South Carolina defeated number 9 seed Indiana, 64-53. And number 2 seed Duke defeated number 10 seed Oregon, 59-53. Then in Regional 3, Birmingham, it was number 5 seed Tennessee, 82. Number 4 seed Ohio State, 67. Number 3 seed Notre Dame, 76. Number 6 seed Michigan, 55. And the number 2 seed TCU defeated number 7 seed Louisville, 85-70. Then in Region 4, in Spokane Region from Sunday, it was number 5 seed Kansas State defeating number 4 seed Kentucky, 80-79 in overtime. And in Monday's games, all the higher seeds won. We'll start with Region 1 in Spokane. It was 3 seed LSU defeated number 6 seed Florida State, 101-71. And 2 seed North Carolina State defeated Michigan State, 7th seed, 83-49. In the Regional 2 from Birmingham, it was number 4 seed Maryland defeating number 5 seed Alabama, 111-108 in double overtime. And number 3 seed North Carolina defeating number 6 seed West Virginia, 58-47. Then the Region 3 from Birmingham, it was number 1 seed Texas defeating number 8 seed Illinois, 65-48. Then in Region 4 from Spokane, it was number 1 seed USC, 96, number 9 seed Mississippi State, 59, number 2 seed UConn, 91, versus number 10 seed South Dakota State, 57, and it was number 3 seed Oklahoma over number 6 seed Iowa, 96-62. So the schedule for the women's NCAA Sweet 16 looks like this. In the Regional 1 from Spokane, we will have number 1 seed UCLA versus number 5 seed Ole Miss on Friday. Then we'll have number 2 seed North Carolina State versus number 3 seed LSU on Friday. Then in Regional 2 in Birmingham, we'll have number 1 seed South Carolina versus number 4 seed Maryland on Friday. Number 2 seed Duke versus number 3 seed North Carolina on Friday. Then in Regional 3 Birmingham, we'll have number 1 seed Texas versus number 5 seed Tennessee on Saturday. And number 2 seed TCU versus number 3 seed Notre Dame on Saturday. Then over in Region 4 Spokane, we'll have number 1 seed USC versus number 5 seed Kansas State on Saturday, and number 2 seed UConn versus number 3 seed Oklahoma on Saturday. And in a couple of local women's basketball coaching articles, first one says, Miller's time, this from over the weekend. ASU turns to GCU for its next women's hoops coach. This from the Arizona Republic. Molly Miller, who led Grand Canyon's women's basketball team to its first March Madness this year, is leaving to be the Arizona State coach. Miller spent the past 5 years at GCU, where she took over a program that had gone 7-20 2 years before her arrival and fostered a winning culture that included the program's first conference title this season. The Lopes lost to Baylor 73-60 in the first round of their NCAA tournament appearance. GCU held the nation's longest win streak of 32 wins, which was the best record among the 64 teams in the field at 32-2. ASU is hoping Miller can return the Sun Devils to the success of the Charlie Turner Thorne era. Turner Thorne was the winningest women's basketball coach in ASU history in her 25 years leading the program. Miller, who's 38, also coached at her alma mater, Drury, leading them to 180 wins and just 17 losses in six seasons. The 9-14 winning percentage was the best stretch in Drury's history and was the best among active NCAA coaches at the time. Her last team at Drury was 32-0 before COVID-19 ended that season in March without a chance to win a Division II national title. Then on Monday, GCU announced their new women's basketball coach to replace Molly Miller. South Carolina assistant takes over from Miller. This is from the Arizona Republic. South Carolina assistant Winston Gandy, part of the Gamecocks' 38-0 national championship staff in 2024, has been named the new women's basketball coach at Grand Canyon University. Gandy, in his second season as a South Carolina assistant this year, replaces Molly Miller, who left after a historic 32-3 March Madness season to become the Arizona State head coach. GCU was eliminated from the NCAA women's tournament by Baylor on Friday, 73-60, that ended their nation-longest 30-game winning streak. "I'm a core value person," Gandy said at Monday's introductory news conference. "That doesn't change regardless of the job. It never has. Obviously, the hat changes, if you will. I believe in doing things the right way. Your word is your bond, treating others the way you want to be treated. Attracting people who are like-minded people, who have good core values, is important. That is what attracted me to Grand Canyon." Gandy intends to stay with the Gamecocks through the NCAA tournament before joining the Lopes. Gandy is a nationally renowned recruiter, developing top talent from the reigning national champions. The Gamecocks are in another postseason run, advancing Sunday to the Sweet 16. Before working as an assistant under Don Staley, he had assistant coaching stops at Duke and Rice. He was director of recruiting at Maryland, and spent three seasons in the NBA as Director of Player Development with the Washington Wizards. During his time at Rice, when the Owls played a game at GCU, he saw what the Grand Canyon facilities and environment. Gandy said he was attracted by GCU's Christian-based foundation and forward-thinking approaches of GCU President Brian Muller and Athletic Director Jamie Boggs. As an associate head coach at Duke, he helped the Blue Devils reach the NCAA tournament in 2023 with a 26-7 record, going 14-4 in the ACC. He was the associate head coach at Duke for 3 years before going to South Carolina. Staley credited Gandy's scouting of Iowa and how to handle its backcourt, led by Caitlin Clark, for South Carolina's national championship in 2024. In an interview with ESPN after that game, Staley called Gandy a difference maker. Gandy, who graduated from the University of Maryland in 2013 with a degree in economics, said he'll be able to bring things he's learned from Staley. Now moving over to the NBA professional basketball with the Phoenix Suns. Suns chasing Kings to host play-in game. This is by Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic. The Phoenix Suns have won their last three games and remain 10th for the final play-in spot in the West, but face the NBA's toughest remaining schedule heading into Monday night's matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks. This will be the Suns coach Mike Budenholzer's first game against the Bucks since they fired him after the 2022-23 season. The Suns, at 34-37, stunned East leader Cleveland 123-112 Friday without Bradley Beal, out with a hamstring, Nick Richards with a calf, who was a late scratch, Grayson Allen with a foot, and Mason Plumlee with a quad injury. The Suns are on the back end of a 5-game homestand that ends Wednesday against the defending NBA champion Boston Celtics at Phoenix Arena. The Bucks at 40-30 and the Celtics at 51-19 are down an all-star right now. Damian Lillard missed Milwaukee's last 2 games with right calf soreness, while Jaylen Brown was already been slated out for Boston's game Sunday at Portland with a right knee injury. The Bucks will still have MVP candidate Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jason Tatum is leading the Celtics, but Phoenix could face those teams without one of their best players. The Dallas Mavericks at 34-37, and the Suns have the same record, but Phoenix owns the tiebreaker. Anthony Davis may return from a groin injury he suffered in his Dallas debut February 8th against Houston. After being part of the stunning blockbuster deal before the trade deadline that sent Luka Doncic to Los Angeles Lakers, Davis has spent time with Dallas's G League team, the Texas Legends. Kyrie Irving is out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. The Mavs have been very shorthanded, but a Davis return would instantly increase their chances of making the play-in. Then there's Sacramento. The Kings at 35-35 are ninth in the West with just a 1.5 game lead on the Suns and the Mavs. They've lost their last 2 games and will be without double-double machine Domantas Sabonis until at least the end of this week with an ankle sprain. Sabonis is second to 3-time NBA MVP Nikola Jokic in double-doubles this season with 51. Jokic has 52. Sacramento's next 3 games are at home against Boston, NBA-leading Oklahoma City at 58-12, and Portland at 32-39, winners of his last 4 games. The Trailblazers trail Phoenix and Dallas by only 2 games. Being 6.5 games behind the 7th-seeded Los Angeles Clippers at 40-30, and 8th-seeded Minnesota 41-31 with just 11 games left, the Suns most likely won't catch either one. The Clippers have won their last 5 games, while the T-Wolves are 3-0 against the Suns this season. However, the 9th seed and 10th seed are very reachable for Phoenix. The 9th seed hosts the 10th in the play-in tournament, with the winner playing at the 7-8 loser for the 8th and final seed in the West. And in other games from Sunday around the NBA from Sunday's roundup, Celtics top Blazers win 5th straight. Jason Tatum scored 30 points as the Boston Celtics defeated the host Portland Trailblazers 129-116 on Sunday night. Tatum scored 24 of those points after halftime and narrowly missed his 3rd triple-double of the season, finishing with 9 rebounds and 9 assists. Sam Hauser racked up 24 points on 8 of 10 three-pointers, while Derek White added 17 points, including going 4 of 10 from deep. In a rare starting role, Peyton Pritchard scored 16 points, including 4 of 9 from long range. Shaedon Sharpe scored 23 points to lead Portland, who is 32-40. Tumani Kamara contributed 19 points, and Denny Adjiyi posted 17 points and 11 rebounds. Then we have Pistons 126, Pelicans 130. Rookie Ron Holland scored a career-high 26 points as the host Detroit Pistons defeated the New Orleans Pelicans. Holland added 6 assists and 5 rebounds. Jalen Duren powered for 22 points and 12 rebounds, while Marcus Sasser supplied 20 points. Dennis Schroeder added 16 points and 5 assists. C.J. McCollum carried New Orleans at 19-53 with 40 points and 7 assists, while Jordan Hawkins had 25 points. Now Cavaliers 120, Jazz 91. Jared Allen scored 18 points to help the Cleveland Cavaliers snap a season-high 4-game losing streak in a road win over the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell didn't shoot well again, going 5-for-13 and missing all 5 three-point attempts, but scored 16 against his former team. DeAndre Hunter added 15 points, and Evan Mobley contributed 11 points, 11 rebounds, and 3 blocks in the win. Darius Garland and Ty Jerome each scored 12 for the Cavs, who are 57-14, who hadn't won for 9 days. Kyle Filipowski led the shorthanded Jazz, who are 16-56, with 18 points and 13 rebounds. Johnny Juzang scored 12, while Colin Sexton, Bryce Sensabaugh, and Jordan Clarkson each chipped in with 10 points. Spurs 123, Raptors 89. Devin Vassell scored 12 of his 25 points in the third quarter, and the visiting San Antonio Spurs dominated the Toronto Raptors. Julian Champagne added 20 points for the Spurs, who are 31-39, who have won three straight. Stephon Castle scored 15 points. Sandro Mamukelashvili added 13 points, and Harrison Barnes had 10. Scotty Barnes scored 22 points for the Raptors, who were 24-47, who have lost four in a row. R.J. Barrett added 18 points. Jamal Sheed scored 17, and Jacoby Walter had 10. Now we have Hawks 132, 76ers 119. Trae Young scored 28 points, one of three Atlanta players with 20 or more points, to lead the Hawks to their third straight win, a victory over the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. Young made 4 3-pointers and added 12 assists for his 42nd double-double. He joined rookie Zachary Reichester with 22 points and Hortus Niang with 20 points as the Hawks won for the 7th time in 9 games. Niang made at least 5 3-pointers for the 2nd straight game before fouling out. Onyeka Okongwu added 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 steals. Dominic Barlow scored a season-high 13. Quentin Grimes scored 26 points for the 11th time in 20 games that he's scored at least 25 points. Justin Edwards scored 22 points. Jeff Doughton Jr. had 17. Ricky Council IV added 14 points before fouling out. Then we have Heat 122, Hornets 105. Andrew Wiggins scored 15 of his season-high 42 points in the decisive third quarter as the host Miami Heat snapped their 10-game losing streak, snapping their longest skid since the 2007-8 season. The Heat at 30-41 got 29 points from Tyler Herro, who played with a left hip contusion. Bam Adebayo played despite a sprained left knee and scored 11 points. Miami's Khalil Ware, 8 rebounds, and Davion Mitchell, 7 assists, chipped in 12 points apiece. The Hornets, at 18-53, were led by LaMelo Ball, who posted 18 points and a game-high 11 assists. Then we have Nuggets 116, Rockets 111. Jamal Murray scored 17 of his game-high 39 points in a turnaround third quarter as the Denver Nuggets claimed a critical victory over the host Houston Rockets. Murray shot 15 for 28 and added 7 assists to help the Nuggets, at 45-27, overcome the absence of star center Nikola Jokic, who missed his 4th consecutive game with a left ankle impingement. Michael Porter Jr. added 17 points and 9 rebounds, while Aaron Gordon chipped in 13 points and 8 assists. Jalen Green scored 30 points to pace the Rockets, who had their 9-game winning streak snapped. Dylan Brooks added 21 points with 5 3-pointers, including a corner 3 with 1:16 left in regulation that cut what was once a 19-point deficit to a 109-105 deficit. Murray responded with 3 free throws down the stretch. And finally, we have Thunder 103, Clippers 101. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 26 points, and Aaron Wiggins added 19, as the Oklahoma City Thunder extended their winning streak to 6 games by holding on for a victory over the Los Angeles Clippers in Inglewood, California. Isaiah Hartenstein scored 14 points with 10 rebounds, and Alex Caruso added 14 points for the Thunder, who are 59-12, who clinched the top seed in the Western Conference last week. Kawhi Leonard scored 25 points with 10 rebounds, and James Harden added 17 points as the Clippers, who were 40-31, saw their 5-game winning streak come to an end. Avdija Zubac scored 15 points with 11 rebounds for the Clippers, who also saw their 8-game home winning streak snapped. Los Angeles was unable to move into a tie for 6th place in the Western Conference with the Golden State Warriors. And that will put us a little bit past our halfway point in this evening's sports today. Now I will run down the standings in the NBA. The top 10 teams make the playoffs. 1 through 6 get a first round bye, where 7 through 10 play in the play-in games. Starting with the Eastern Conference, Cleveland is on top at 57-14. They have clinched a first round bye, along with Boston at 51-19, 5.5 games back of Cleveland. New York is clinched a playoff berth at 44-26, along with Indiana at 41-29, Milwaukee at 40-30, and Detroit at 40-32 in the 6th spot. In the 7th spot is Atlanta right currently, 34-36, Orlando in the 8th spot at 33-38, Chicago in the 9th spot 31-40, and Miami in the 10th spot right now at 29-41. Behind them is Toronto at 24-46. And then in the Western Conference, Oklahoma City has clinched the Western Conference Division Championship in number 1 seed with a record of 58-12, followed by Houston at 46-25, Denver at 44-27, LA Lakers at 43-27, Memphis at 43-28. And Golden State is in the number 6 spot right now at 41-30. The LA Clippers are in the number 7 spot at 40-30. Minnesota is in the number 8 spot right now at 41-31. Sacramento is number 9 at 35-35. And Phoenix and Dallas are tied for the 10th spot at 34-37, with Phoenix owning the tiebreaker. Behind them is Portland at 32-39. Now we can move over to some Major League Baseball, starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks. D-backs finalize starting rotation with Fott. This is by Nick Piacoro of the Arizona Republic. Right-hander Brandon Fott has won the Diamondbacks' 5th starter's job, manager Torey Lovullo said, and right-hander Ryan Nelson and lefty Jordan Montgomery, the other two who were in the rotation competition, will pitch out of the bullpen to start the year. Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks will push right-hander Corbin Burns' debut to the 5th game of the season as a way to accommodate his between-starts routine. Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Fott, and Eduardo Rodriguez will start the first 4 games of the season against the Chicago Cubs at Chase Field. Burns will pitch on April 1 at Yankee Stadium. The decision with Fott ends weeks of drama over what the Diamondbacks would do with their excess starting pitching. The club ended last year with 6 starters for 5 spots, and the surprise signing of Burns to a 6-year $210 million deal gave them 7 starters. That they opted to stick with Fott was, in a way, predictable. He has been highly regarded by the organization for years, including playing a key role in the club's 2023 World Series run. He was a reliable member of the rotation last year, and the club believes he pitched far better than his numbers, 4.71 ERA, would suggest. However, Nelson was the club's best starting pitcher during a 2-month stretch last year, and he has the most electric fastball of the 3. As for Montgomery, though, he struggled last season. He not only has the longest track record of success in the majors, but he is also set to earn $22.5 million this year. If the club was eager to unload his salary via trade in the near future, giving him a chance to start might have expedited that process. Fott, though, got the nod after posting a 3.18 ERA with 2 walks and 13 strikeouts in 11 1/3 innings entering Sunday. Just the way he's been throwing the ball and the ability to repeat the delivery, Lovullo said when asked what separated Fott from the others. The stuff was Brandon Fott-like. Lovullo added, "We felt like he had clearly won that race and had performed not by results, but performed and did his job and got outs the right way with the right pitches." Lavallo said the club will do its best to keep both Nelson and Montgomery stretched out in a relief role for as long as possible, thus keeping them available as starting rotation depth in the event of an injury. If they are unable to keep both pitchers' pitch counts built up as they get deeper into April, the Diamondbacks might have to send Nelson down to start games in AAA to maintain depth. Lavallo took the blame for the need to push Burns to the Yankees series, saying he was not aware of how strictly the right-hander likes to adhere to his daily routine. As such, Lavallo did not realize he would be possibly upsetting that routine by taking as long as he did to settle on Gallen as his opening day starter, a decision he did not make until the middle of last week. "This was probably a technical error on my part. I'll take the responsibility for that," Lavallo said. "Corbin is a very routine-oriented player, and I had yet to understand that until recently. He's got a process, and I respect that, and I blame myself for not getting to know him better, how important the routine is to him." Burns would have started the second game of the season on 2 extra days of rest. Instead, he will pitch against the Yankees on 1 extra day. Lavallo said Burns will be more involved in rotation alignment decisions going forward, like how the team will proceed with off days or after rainouts, etc., adding that he'll be fine with it so long as he has advance notice. "What I told him is, from now on, you will be part of this conversation," Lavallo said. "You will be in the room." The Diamondbacks also settled on infielder-outfielder Garrett Hampson as their final bench player over infielder Aldemaro Vargas, with Lavallo saying Hampson's ability to play the outfield and his speed were the separating factors. Vargas can opt out of his minor league deal if another team offers him a big league opportunity, according to a source. Both Nelson and Montgomery in relief roles, that leaves one bullpen spot for either right-hander Shelby Miller or right-hander Bryce Jarvis. Miller is expected to get the nod. On Sunday, he exercised an upward mobility clause in his contract, which allows him to opt out if another team offers him a major league job. The Diamondbacks can prevent him from leaving by adding him to the roster. The Diamondbacks won one and tied one in Cactus League play from Sunday. And in college baseball, first off at the University of Arizona, they played at West Virginia over the weekend. They won Friday 6-4 in 16 innings. They lost on Saturday 3-11 and won Sunday 11-4. Currently, they are 18-5 on the season, 5-1 in conference. ASU baseball played at home this weekend. They won on Friday 9-2, lost on Saturday 7-3, and won Sunday 7-6 against number 22 Kansas. Their record is 16-8 overall, 4-2 in the Big 12. And in women's softball, Arizona and Arizona State played at Tempe over the weekend. Arizona won on Friday 6-1. They won on Saturday 5-1. Arizona State won Sunday's game 3-2. That puts the University of Arizona record at 29-5 overall, 6-3 in conference. ASU is 23-10 overall, 5-4 in the Big 12. And in a little bit of golf news, Hovland rallies past Thomas at Valspar. Norway's Victor Hovland finally found a solid rhythm for the first time in a month, and it paid off at the Valspar Championship. Hovland notched birdies on 3 of his final 5 holes to shoot 4 under par 67 and win the tournament Sunday at Innisbrook Resort's Copperhead Course in Palm Harbor, Florida. Hovland, who missed the cut in his previous 3 tournaments, finished at 11 under 273 for a 1-stroke victory over Justin Thomas. Hovland, who's 27, now has 7 career victories. This is his first title since the 2023 Tour Championship, which capped a string of 3 victories in a 3-month stretch. Still, he wasn't full of confidence when the tournament began. Even with some hiccups along the way, there was an uptick of incentive as he reached the back 9 on Sunday in the mix on a crowded leaderboard. Hovland had been 3 strokes off the pace on the backside before he heated up and Thomas fell off. Thomas had his 2nd consecutive sterling round, but his 66 was marred by bogeys on numbers 16 and 18. Those followed a 5-hole stretch with 4 birdies. Jacob Bridgman, who led the tournament's midway mark, posted 69 and was 3rd at 9-under. Bud Cauley with a 66, Billy Horschel 67, and Japan's Ryo Hitsetsune with a 68 tied for 4th place at 8-under, and Davis Riley with a 69 with 7th at 7-under. And over at the LPGA, LPGA back in action this week in Chandler. For the first time this season, the top 10 players in the world will gather in one place at the LPGA's Ford Championship. World's number one, Nelly Korda, took a month-and-a-half long break, skipping the tour's entire Asia swing, and returns to defend her title March 27th through 30th at a new site, the Worldwind Golf Club in Chandler, Arizona. World number two, Lydia Ko, is back in action after clinching her 23rd career LPGA title at the HSBC Women's World Championship in Singapore. Rounding out the top 10 are Gino Tiakul, Rowling Ying, Hannah Green, Lilia Vu, Kayaki Furu, Jin Young Ko, Heron Roy, and Charlie Hull. I hope I pronounced all those semi-correctly. Australia's Minji Ling is the only top 20 player who won't be in the field. Another player returning from a long break is Rose Zhang, who competed in the season-opening Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions and then went back to Stanford to finish up the winter quarter. A semi-retired Lexi Thompson is in the field, as is Arizona resident Christy Kerr, who's teeing it up for the first time since last summer's KPMG Women's PGA. A total of 18 rookies from the class of 2025 will be at Worldwind, including Ryo Takeda of Japan, who won her 2nd LPGA title at the Blue Bay LPGA event in China. The 2 sponsor exemptions for the Ford are Mexico's Maria Fassi and Gabby Barker, the first female Native American professional golfer. Barker's selection comes from the Thunderbirds, who run the PGA Tour's WM Phoenix Open and who are a founding partner of the Ford. And now over to some motorsports, where there was a lot of action going on this past weekend. We'll start with NASCAR Cup Series. Larson overcomes Miami to nab 30th career win. Kyle Larson overcame plenty on Sunday to win for the 30th time in his distinguished NASCAR Cup Series career. Larson moved past Hendrick Motorsports teammate Alec Bowman with 7 laps to go, capturing the Straight Talk Wireless 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway in Homestead, Florida. Restarting 4th with 55 laps to go following the race's final caution period, Bowman worked his way by Larson and Denny Hamlin and eventually put his number 48 Chevrolet around Bubba Wallace's number 23 Toyota with 33 laps left. But with Larson charging hard in his number 5 Chevrolet, Bowman banged the wall hard in turn 4, allowing Larson to move by and motor away by 1.205 seconds for his 30th career victory and Chevrolet's 3rd in 5 Homestead races. Larson, who led 19 laps, is the 3rd winningest driver in the Hendrick organization's history, trailing Jeff Gordon with 93 wins and Jimmy Johnson with 83, but he had extra work to do. His car was struck by Josh Berry in a pit road incident, and his Chevrolet smacked the outside wall numerous times, blazing around the 1.5-mile speedway. "It was far from perfect," said Larson, a 2-time Homestead victor who qualified 14th. "I got into the wall too many times. I had just had to keep plugging away with what I know and what's good for me. Just got a lot of gritty hard work there today between damage on pit road, qualifying bad, bad restarts, and all that stuff. Just to keep my head down and keep digging felt good." After his season-best runner-up outing, Bowman said he felt he let his first 2025 win slip away. "Yes, I guess I choked that one away for sure," said Bowman, who held the point for 43 laps. I just kind of burned my stuff up. I pulled it off the wall too far in turn four and hit the fence pretty hard. My team deserved better than that. Wallace, Chase Briscoe, and Hamlin rounded out the top five. In the 27th Cup race in the South Florida's track history, Bowman led 36 other cars to the green flag, but he eventually watched Ryan Blaney, Barry, and Larson take the point through a caution-free start to the 267-lap race, the series' sixth of the season. Their next race will be this coming Sunday, March 30th, the Cookout 400 at Martinsville Speedway, Martinsville, Virginia. 400 laps, 210.4 miles. Then over the NHRA Pro Series drag racing, which took place in Firebird Raceway up in Chandler, Arizona this weekend. Lee scores first in Funny Car, Langdon repeats, and Anderson gets lucky. Paul Lee collected his first career win in the Nitro Funny Car. Sean Langdon defended his event title in Top Fuel. And Greg Anderson won in Pro Stock under the most unusual circumstances to highlight a wild final eliminations day at the NHRA Arizona Nationals. Top Fuel's Sean Langdon won for a second straight year at Firebird Motorsports Park on Sunday, powering past Coletta Motorsports teammate Doug Coletta in the final round in front of a sellout crowd at the 40th annual NHRA Arizona Nationals. Paul Lee in Funny Car and Greg Anderson in Pro Stock also won the second of 20 races during the 2025 NHRA Mission Foods Drag Racing Series season. It was the second straight sellout this weekend in Phoenix as fans packed Firebird Motorsports Park. Langdon put together the quickest run of eliminations in the championship round, going 3.724 seconds at 330.39 mile per hour in his 11,000 horsepower Coletta Air Carriers dragster to get past Coletta's 3.770 at 325.53. It was the second straight final round for Langdon to open 2025, as he defeated Scott Palmer, Justin Ashley, and Brittany Force earlier in the day before picking up his 20th career win and first of the season. In Funny Car, Paul Lee became the 96th different Funny Car winner in NHRA history on Sunday with his first career victory, defeating reigning world champion Austin Prock with a run of 4.030 seconds at 313.22 mile per hour in his 11,000 horsepower McLaren FTI Performance Dodge Charger SRT Funny Car. It was a remarkable performance from Lee, who defeated a slew of standouts to earn his first career win in the category. After qualifying fifth, Lee took down Gainesville winner Chad Green, Blake Alexander, and Bob Tasca, running an impressive 3.964 at 319.82 to reach the final round. Prock drove in the smoke while Lee made a clean run en route to the victory. It led to a memorable celebration as Lee continues to make massive strides in the loaded Funny Car ranks. In one of the wildest Pro Stock final rounds in recent history, Greg Anderson picked up his second straight Phoenix win when Dallas Glenn went red in the final round. Anderson, the reigning world champ, barely moved off the starting line as his car had his own trouble, lost power, and didn't even make it to half track. But it was still a victory for Anderson in his HendrixCars.com Chevrolet Camaro, as the all-time wins leader in Pro Stock earned his 107th career victory and fourth overall at Firebird Motorsports Park. To reach the final round for the second straight race, Anderson got past Fernando Cuadra Jr., Eric Latino, and Aaron Stanfield, setting up the third straight Anderson-Glenn showdown dating back to last year's NHRA Finals. This one was easiest the strangest, but Anderson will gladly take the win and the points lead after defeating his KB Titan Racing teammate. To explain that, since Dallas Glenn red-lighted, that disqualified him on the run, and all Anderson had to do was to leave the starting line, and that gave Anderson the win. And their next race will be this coming weekend also, March 27th through 30th, the Lucas Oil NHRA Winter Nationals at the In-N-Out Burger Pomona Drag Strip in Pomona, California. And finally, in NTT IndyCar Racing, Alex Palou stays perfect with late chase for thermal victory. Perfect Palou yet again. Alex Palou once again made the impossible possible, completing a late dash from a 9-second deficit to pass pole sitter Pato O'Ward and drive away to win the Thermal Club IndyCar Grand Prix on Sunday, staying perfect in two NTT IndyCar Series races this season. Palou earned his 13th career victory in the number 10 DHL Honda Chip Ganassi racing car, beating O'Ward's number 5 Arrow McLaren Chevrolet to the finish by 10.1854 seconds. Christian Lundgaard finished third in the number 7 Arrow McLaren Chevrolet, as the team captured two of the three podium positions for the first time since May 2023. Two events into the 17-race season, Palou leads second-place O'Ward by 39 points in the championship standings. And their next race will be April 13th, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. I'm Russ Werner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer leader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a good evening and stay tuned for more. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left-click on On Demand Podcast. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.